God, we thank you for Glenn and his life in you and your life in him. Thank you for his good, faithful, fruitful, heartfelt investment in the youth of our church as their pastor and as a partner for me and for others in the life and leadership of this church. We thank you for him and Deanna and their family and what you have done and are doing through them. And we ask again today that you would anoint Glenn as he comes to speak to us. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear what you are wanting to say to us today through your servant. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome here. If you're new with us this morning, I'm excited to share a little bit with you and chat. One of the things I really like to do is kind of start with a little bit of a joke. And so we're in this three-part series called Everyday Mission. And this is a dad joke, so you might groan, but that's okay. So this is a dad joke. So I just have a question. What's a missionary's favorite car? A convertible. All right. Kind of loosens the crowd. Thanks for humoring me with that. I love dad jokes because I'm a dad. Anyways, we are on our third part of this little mini-series that we've been doing. So if you're just joining with us, I'm going to summarize a little bit of that. We say everyday mission to emphasize that this isn't about a trip somewhere, that everyday mission is not about us going somewhere else, but it's actually about us living right here, wherever we're placed, every day for Christ. As someone has wisely said, a mission is about ordinary Christians doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality. I love that. The last 2 weeks, we've been hearing from two mission organizations, which we support. 2 weeks ago, we heard from Eric, who represented Food for the Hungry. Eric challenged us from 2 Kings 2, verse 1 to 7, where the prophets first listened. And I think that's a really valuable thing for us to think about when we are doing everyday mission or out in our world, that we first listen. Last week was a powerful message from Phil Riley, whom we support International Justice Mission. Actually, equally with two other mission organizations, so the kind of the three of them in Calcutta, India. Phil mentioned several scriptures, such as Psalm 10, which reminded us that God cares about defending the fatherless and the oppressed and those who don't maybe have a voice. And we're encouraging you, again, in that little petition, to have a voice for those who maybe would lose out if we don't stand up and make our voices heard in our government. We as a church give over 10% of what you donate to organizations like this, to, you know, Food for the Hungry, International Justice Mission, Mahima Homes, different things. We give a portion of what you give to us to support these mission organizations. It's almost like a tithe, like a tenth, like a portion of what we give, what you give to us. We're like, hey, we're going to go support other organizations. It's not just going to be about us. But it kind of begs the question for me as I think about this, what about the other 90%? You know, what is it that we're about? They came the last 2 weeks and they shared their vision. They shared what they're doing. They shared what's going on. They shared stories and got excited about what they're doing in their ministries. What about us? What are we doing? And maybe you're here today and you're like, I know a lot of what we're doing. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I have no idea. This is my first time here. And so today is a little bit different than maybe a regular morning where I would stand up and preach. I'm going to share a little bit about our vision and how we go about making that vision a reality. How we as a church partner together with each other to make an impact in our world. So what is our everyday mission? What is our vision here in Victoria? What is our strategy for reaching the lost in our city? What things do we do intentionally to reach our goals? How do we take our vision and put feet to it in our community? And lastly, what ministries do we have and what ministries do we still need? Where are there holes where we need to make an impact in our city in a different and new way? I want you to know that we're on a journey together. I'm going to attempt to answer many of those questions today. And remind us of our vision. Remind us, like we often do in September, where we kind of revisit our values and the things that are important. It's January. So let's do it again. Let's talk about our vision. Let's understand all the different things that are happening. You know, as I've been doing some research on our church as part of some schooling that I'm doing, and I realized that there's ministries that are out there that I often forget that actually are going on. You know, there's things that are happening. I'm like, oh, right, there's that thing that's happening too. And so having a time where it's like, okay, I'm going to unpack for us, hopefully, pretty much everything. You know, obviously, there's probably going to be something that I miss. You know, it's like as soon as you try to encapsulate everything that people are doing, you miss something, right? But that's my hope and my goal today is to talk about what it is that we do as a church, why we do it, why is it important, and what is the vision that God has for us as a church. I believe the vision for every church under Christ is this. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. God has a mission for us, a vision, a direction. This is what we're about. This is what every church under Christ, I believe, should be about, going that direction. Either you have chosen to submit to Christ, or God is actually seeking after you today. We have personalized this as Lamarck, and our mission is stated as this. We seek to know, love, and serve God with grace, authenticity, and hospitality in our church, neighborhood, and world. God is seeking after all of us, wanting us to know Jesus so that we might have forgiveness of sins. God is seeking every one of us to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to put your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to follow Jesus every day for the rest of your life, according to God's power at work in you. Amen? That is the gospel. That is what we are called to. That is what we're supposed to be about. God is seeking after all of us. Our passion is described as to welcome and invite all generations to know, love, and serve Christ. So it's kind of like a shortened version of this. So let me explain today our strategy with all generations. I hope it'll be helpful to you to learn about what we do as a church, to learn about all those who serve and accomplish our goals as a church. So if you're visiting, I hope that you can be thinking about the church you go to maybe. How is it that we do this? How is it that I connect in? But for us as a church, I want to unpack this today. So let's start with our little kids. They left a few minutes ago. A portion of what we give as a church goes to supporting little kids. Newborn to grade 5 are taught about Jesus under the leadership of a children's pastor. We have hired Mackenzie Watson to do this, and she starts in like about a month. When you give, it helps support kids knowing Jesus. Yeah, amen. She'll bring leadership to an amazing team of men and women who seek to support parents caring for kids, many of which actually are in here. Lots of people serve for 1 week, and then they have 3 weeks where they're in our service. And so there's many of you in here that serve and care for kids. We also host and care for kids on an almost daily basis through a ministry called Wise Ways. It's a preschool and daycare, which is amazing. I hear, you know, it's really cool. Sometimes I go downstairs and right around lunchtime, things like that, and I hear the kids praying together. Here's kids that come from our community who have no necessarily faith background or connection, and they pray it Monday to Friday for their food, which is amazing. We are making an impact in our community, and this is our strategy for kids. We want our kids to be connected to Christ, and this is our strategy to reach them for the gospel. Our current strategy for middle school and high school students is led up by me. I have the privilege of, I have the privilege, there's a bunch of my leaders that are just hoot and hollering, which is awesome. There's a couple more over here. Come on, I'm just kidding. I get the privilege of connecting with and training and equipping about 25 leaders who care for the needs of teens. They are amazing, passionate people who love teenagers and seek to earn the right to influence students towards Christ. We also have many groups for adults, and this list is huge. There's tons of opportunities for adults to get connected. Do you know there are two groups specifically just for women, which meet Tuesday mornings and Wednesday evenings? These are open to join to. You can just jump in and join them. You don't have to be there every single week. You can go, come and go. I mean, there's obviously benefits to being committed and connected to that, but they're an open opportunity for you to come and be a part of. That happens every single week. As well as a yearly, bi-yearly ladies event, there's different things that are happening there, a monthly continental breakfast. There's also a men's groups, Thursday morning for men, there's a chance for you to learn. If you're like, oh man, I just want to learn how to study the Bible, I don't understand this thing, come, 7 a.m., right? Every Tuesday morning, 7 a.m., come every Thursday, I'm looking at the young adults. Tuesday morning, there's something coming for you. Anyway, so every Thursday morning for men, 7 a.m., you can be there.
many opportunities which are open to both men and women. There's prayer works, which meet every Wednesday morning. If you want to learn to pray, come and learn with others, Wednesday at 7 a.m. Simon leads our ministry to young adults. This is a team of worship leaders, lunch hosts, Tuesday 7 a.m. Bible study, and more. There's also things that are going on that we connect with here to support the growth of young adults in our church. Also, if you are a prayer person, and you're like, man, I love to pray. There's opportunities for you to pray in the morning, but also if you can't make it to that, there's a prayer net. There's a group of people that pray. You can send in your request to them, and there's people that are committed to praying for your needs. The information is right here on your bulletin, your flyer there. So there's opportunities for you to be involved in that way. There's also a team who creates missional engagement for our church. There are three outreach teams who serve by teaching English. There's a team who serves bringing leadership to Wise Ways. I was told, kind of like a Wise Ways board. I was told by Brenda this story just a little while ago, and I wanted to share it with you because it kind of gets me excited about what they're doing. So there's this English language learners ministry, and some of you are involved with that. And she shared a thank you email from one of the participants. So this is what it says. Dear Brenda, thank you very much for your help. It's you who let me know how friendly Canadians are. I felt that I was loved and well taken care of in this church. I can tell that my spoken English has improved during these days. In addition, I learned much about Canada and Christianity, making myself a more open-minded person. I really enjoy the sweat party tonight. Just kidding. I'm sure she meant sweet party, but it's like, you know, I don't know if like E and A are like right beside each other on the keyboard and they had like a party, you know, like celebrating together. Wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. People are learning learning English, and it's a ministry what we're doing. But they're not just learning English, they're actually learning the Bible. We're teaching them about Christianity. People who have come here, and they're going to go back to like all places around the world and share what they're learning here through our English language learners. It's amazing. I'm encouraged that one of the lines there, it says, they felt loved and well taken care of in this church. Isn't that awesome? You know, there's three teams who lead outreach through a ministry called Alpha. Our last baptism included someone who had taken the Alpha course and learned the basics of what we believe. There's a team of people who care for the practical needs of our families. They're called the Family Care Team. They provide meals, visiting, cards, Christmas hampers, and more. We also encourage, along with that, those who are part of small groups or discipleship groups to care for each other. The Family Care Team is for those who don't have the care, right? And we're made aware of those needs by the staff or elders, the office. They do lots of different things. So we just encourage you to think about, like, okay, who are the people around me that I can care for, right? Who are the people that I need to help that are there? Maybe in your small group or your community group, your life group, whatever it is you call that. Behind the scenes, there are people who care for a facility, teams who help discern new elders. Maybe you didn't know there's a finance team. There's a board of elders who prayerfully work together to direct, protect, and oversee our church. As a staff and board, we decided to start this series called Rooted in October, where many of you joined into groups to learn together. Many of our ministries are marked by a group of 3 to 15 people together, learning, praying together, serving together. Scott talked about that. We're just about to start a new series. If you're like, man, I really want this to happen, grab a huddle of people together and say, let's do this together. I was wondering if you could do me a favor. If you could kind of just think back in your mind's eye to a time where you felt really connected to other people. Think of a time when you felt fruitful, where you were growing in your relationship with God. You think back to a time like that? What did it look like? Who was there with you? What was the season of life where you're most connected to God? What were you doing? Where were you located? Maybe you remember times also where you were doing certain things to help you physically, maybe become more healthy, maybe you were walking lots or different things, and that all kind of connected together. For me, one of the most fruitful times I can remember was in actually something, a discipleship group. There was a group of peers of us that got together regularly and connected. Did you know that there are more than 20 groups meeting in homes of like 4 to 15 people that connect here at Lamb Park Church? We've done a great job of this at times. I've done a great job of this at times in my life. And other times I've really struggled with this. Struggled to like feel like I'm connected. I remember attending a small group for a while. And we had just, Liam was like a newborn. And I was working commercial construction and working like a night shift and like really crazy. And I remember I would go to this life group, this community group. And man, I would sit there and we'd start talking and stuff. And I'd do one of these. Like, I kind of like, you know, we'd start praying or something like that. And I kind of like nod off and stuff. And that was a time, it was a struggle for me to be in community, but I still chose to go and be there, you know? And sometimes it was great. I would be like energized, and other times I would be struggling, right? I remember another time too when I was a young adult, and I was a youth pastor and young adults pastor at a church. And it was so amazing. We did this study together, and they would all come over to my house, and we were growing together, and I was like an older single guy and stuff. And so I'd spend days like hours and hours praying and talking to God and talking to these youth or young adults and caring for them. And that was probably one of the most fruitful times in my life with God. I look back at that and I'm like, God, I want that again. I want that community again. I want to be connected like that again. We want you all to be with people who are pursuing Christ together. I believe it would benefit you to find some people that you're pursuing Christ with. Discipleship groups, or it could even be two people learning and growing together. It could look like a small group, medium-sized group, a life group. There's all sorts of different names that we throw out there. But a lot of them do a similar thing. The heart of it is finding a group of people to live life with, to care for you. Scott and I have been in conversation, actually kind of since September, about our small group ministry. And about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, he asked me if I would head it up, if I would take that on as part of my role here at Lamb Park Church. And I just last week decided that I would love to do that. Yay! do you know why that is? Because it is important, so important. I think it is so valuable for each of you to be connected in that. And I know it needs some life and needs some things. And this is kind of like the announcement of it, so you got to give me a little bit of time and slack. But I would love if you are like, man, I'd love to lead a group. I'd to come and talk to me. And for those of you who are wanting to connect in groups, I'm going to get there. But we want this to be something that you have, that you can connect in community, that you can feel that life that comes from having other people caring for you and walking alongside you. I believe we need something called discipleship groups. And there's been lots of iterations of what we've called it here at Lamberick. Small groups, life groups, discipleship groups, like different things like that. But the reason that I like the terminology discipleship groups is because our commission is to go and make disciples. Right? We are called to go and make disciples. So we need to be encouraging and discipling each other. Right? We need to be edging each other along. The Bible says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so that's what I think is really important for us. One of the things I have found is people wonder how they fit. Coming here week after week, you can come, sneak in, sneak out, and people don't really know you. If you want to fit, if you want to feel connected, then this is one of the ways that I would encourage you to do that. Once you've found a group to connect with, then I think the next step is kind of saying, okay, how is it that I can serve in this community? If you're not sure where a good place to start serving is, I would suggest by figuring out, like, maybe what are your spiritual gifts? Maybe you're here today and like, oh, some of you are like, yeah, I got this. I know my spiritual gifts. I'm serving my spiritual gifts. That's awesome. But I think for others of us today, there's maybe like this gap in there. Right? Online, there's all sorts of spiritual gift inventories. I would love to give you a spiritual gift inventory to help you find a place where you can fit and serve and contribute like Christ calls us to in this community. Sometimes we talk about how we fit, and I think it's really important for us to contemplate how it is that you are engaging in this community. I'm here to say that each of these groups I described are important. The things I mentioned today are all important. But it's ironic because wise leaders, like there's this guy named Patrick Lencioni in his leadership book, he says, if everything is important, then nothing is. And that's part of one of my mantras in life. I'm like, everything can't be important. Right? You can't make everything important. But the reality is that all these things are important because they're all heading towards the same vision. Each one of the ministries that I described are heading towards the same thing. So if you're a part of these things, it's like we're all heading towards Christ. And these are some of the nuts and bolts of things that happen to make it a reality for our community. What we want for you, actually all of us, to seek and follow Jesus and do this with others in the context of some intentional discipleship group. Whatever form it takes, we want people to be made into followers of Christ, disciples. We seek and follow Jesus together. The Great Commission is to go and make disciples. So we're wanting places where we're being formed and challenged to be disciples, two or more people seeking Jesus together. And I'm inviting all of you to be on this journey with us, to help us cultivate this kind of community, whatever form it takes. Not only during the week, there's things that are happening, but actually on Sunday, we are church scattered during the week, but we are also church gathered. I already mentioned gathered here. We make an impact on each other as we gather together, right? I already mentioned that there's like 8 to 10 people who meet every single week, and they pray over there, and then they care for our kids in a way that they can understand and help them grow. We meet on Sundays to learn together, to be the church together. Did you know that there's teams like probably like 30 people, 20 to 30 people every week that kind of connect in this ministry? Sunday mornings, there's people who, did you get a coffee? How many people had coffee today? Yeah, there's people that serve coffee. There's people that prepare communion that serve communion. There's worship teams. There's sound tech teams. There's media teams. There's those who collect our offerings. There's counting people. There's those who run the lights. There's people who preach. There's people who pray. There's people who communicate our events. All these things happen in the life of our church to make you guys all know what's going on, right? We want this to be a place, a community where you can connect with God. Most of us that do this, most of the people are just ordinary people who lead. There's only a few of us that are staff here. We're just ordinary people just doing what God has called them to do. Did you know that Sarah Williams, her job is to communicate to all of us what God is doing in this neighborhood? That's what this is. It's like, this is part of her mandate. Those are what all the cool slides that you see back up in there. That's for you to all know, like, hey, this is what we're doing. This is our vision. This is how we're accomplishing our vision. And so we want you to know that that's happening. Therese helps our staff communicate well, helps manage our facility, which is amazing. Some of you have been coming to this facility for 50 years, and it's because of your investment that we have this amazing building to use to make an impact in this community. So why? Why do we do all this stuff? Why does this matter? Can you all pull out this little piece of paper? And maybe you didn't even realize that this is on here. And sometimes we forget what's on there. But at the bottom, every single week it's printed down at the bottom. It says this. We seek, you guys can all find it at the bottom down there. It's kind of a little black thing. It says, we seek to know, love, and serve God with grace, authenticity, and hospitality in our church, neighborhood, and world. We put that on there every week to remind you about what we're about. To remind you about what's important as a church here. We're called not just to sit and watch, but to join God in his work so that others can be saved and healed. That requires a sellout Jesus and everyday mission. That's not what we're here to do as staff. This is not just a few of us, but over 100 people have probably been represented by what I've talked about so far. Maybe you didn't know this, but our roots are in the Brethren movement, which means we believe in the priesthood of all believers. This means that we believe that God is equally accessible to all those who believe in Jesus and give their lives to God. We believe that every follower of Jesus, every Christian, has equal potential to minister to God. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So let me help the rubber hit the road for some of you. Maybe this is your very first day for some of you, and you're trying to figure this out. Welcome. We are Lambrook, and we're so glad that you joined us today. Come after service. Come to our newcomers huddle. Learn more about us. Ask questions. Join in. If you're already a follower of Jesus, if you're connecting here, then serve. Find a place to serve and to learn. Choose a place to get your feet dirty and serve. Choose a place to learn. Be in community. Some groups create that community and serve together. Some it's just serving. Others are caring for each other. If you're a new believer, join Alpha, learn more, or join a discipleship group. Today, this is my first day supporting our adult discipleship groups. Start gathering groups of people to serve. Learn together who you can be influencing for God. I've heard this term lots in the 5 years that I've been here. We are Lambrook. Let me make the pathway for you very clear to be connected here at Lambrook. Come, learn with us, Newcomers Huddle. Find a discipleship community you can grow with. Live everyday mission, and then serve. God, I believe, has uniquely gifted you, and we need every person here as our body. God calls us to be a body of believers, each with a part to play. I'm going to invite the worship team back up, and I've just got a couple more things I want to say. I've heard from several people here at Lambrook that they have chosen Lambrook. Through thick or thin, this is their church because they believe in it, they believe in its mission, they believe in the people that are here. And then they're committed to it, like family. So how do we get there? Our hope is that you live everyday mission, a life where you take God with you everywhere you go, and it influences how you live. Our priorities are the way that we believe that you will get there is in a three-legged stool: redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. This is a great and healthy church. Anybody else feel that way? Yeah, I'm really excited to be part of this church. This is an amazing church. God is doing great things here. Baptisms, people coming to faith in Jesus. It's exciting to be with you here in this journey. As we continue to grow, start to dream about new things. Pray and dream about how you can engage in our community, both church gathered here and church scattered in our community. I hope today, as we've been talking this through, you have a better picture of who we are, a better picture of what we are as Lambrook, and how we make an impact in our world. I hope today you've been encouraged and challenged to engage in everyday mission in our world. Thank you.